Well, it's early morning now. John got back from Chicago last night. And at the breakfast table, Kay is getting her first chance to talk to him since his return. Let's listen.
Just look at that honeydew melon. How'd you and Mary know that's just what I wanted for breakfast this morning, Kay?
I'm afraid you weren't considered when this melon was bought. It's what we'd have had anyhow, even if you hadn't been home for breakfast.
Oh, come now. I refuse to believe that. You look out for my taste as though I were a small baby. But you're too modest to take credit for it. How about a batch of coffee?
Neither cup.
You are? Just about three quarters full this morning, if you please. Thank you. Well, I got a good night's sleep, and I'm raring to go this morning. Awfully worn out last night, though. Hope you didn't mind that I paddled right off to bed as soon as I got home.
Oh, no, I expected you'd be tired. You had a pretty strenuous weekend, I suppose.
Oh, it was exhausting, really. Out late every night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and back to the hotel in the small hours.
Back to the hotel? Who went to a house guest of Mrs. Hayward?
No, no, no. She had plenty of people on her hands without me. Must have been a half a dozen at least.
All congressmen and state senators?
Oh, no, just two of those. Quite an assortment of professions represented. All of them politically minded and quite important. I learned a lot. Did myself a lot of good, Kate. Now, the one thing I kept regretting was that you weren't with me.
Oh, I just have been a burden on your hands. You couldn't have accomplished nearly as much if you had me to look after.
I don't quite like the way you say that, Kay. I think you're still a little bit upset at the way I had to rush out of town Friday night.
John, what in the world had you in such a dilly Friday night that you couldn't even call me and explain where you were going?
Well, it wasn't any one thing, Kay. It was just a whole mess of things. There were so many people I had to see before I left, and these people were anxious to get away and might drive, you know, and they didn't want to arrive in Chicago too late.
Well, it's an excuse, John, but it's not a good one. A phone call only takes a few minutes, and I can't conceive of anything pressing enough or important enough to have kept you from letting me know where you were going and why.
Now, wait, Kay. I'll admit that I was a bit thoughtless.
I don't believe you were thoughtless. I'll bet you thought of me plenty before you left Friday evening.
Well, what do you mean?
I'll explain what I mean presently. But just consider for a moment the way I thought about it, John. I was expecting you home, and then came this call from your secretary, telling me only that you had suddenly made up your mind to go out of town and that I was to pack a bag for you, including in it your dress suit. What was I supposed to surmise from that?
Doggone it, I thought I explained everything to that girl before I left the office. Of course, I can appreciate what a quandary it must have put you in.
I think we may as well be quite frank with each other at this point, John. So I'll tell you why I think we didn't get in touch with me Friday evening. I think it was because you didn't know how to explain your trip. Or maybe because you were afraid I might expect to go with you. And that wouldn't have been convenient.
Okay, really. That's being terribly hard on me.
Well, do you deny it?
Listen, I've tried to explain that I meant to tell my secretary...
All right, let's skip that point. But a question I might ask is, why wasn't I included in the party? What is so special about your activities with Mrs. Hayworth that I can't be around when you're with her and her friends? Well, it's not that I feel I'm missing anything particularly important, but I'm just curious to know how and why I'd poison the stream of this fine new friendship.
All right. All right, Kate. That's all you need to say. You'll make yourself very clear. Not that I blame you, understand, for I appreciate your point of view perfectly. But you're clearly jealous of Mrs. Hayworth, and you formed the notion that I'm fond of her personally.
I don't admit for a minute that I've formed that notion.
Yes, you have. Now, in spite of my assurances to you that such an idea is absurd, you believe I'm heading into an amorous affair with this woman.
You overstate the situation, darling, and you show a complete lack of understanding of me. John, it happens that I'm interested in something more than just keeping you in love with me. I'm not worried about that.
Well, you shouldn't be.
But beyond that, I have a few ambitions, the same as you have. I'm an individual the same as you. And I'm just as eager for a colorful and interesting life as you are. Instead of striking out on my own to mold an individual career for myself, as some women do, I chose to hitch my wagon to your star, hoping to find the satisfaction of my life in sharing your struggles and your success.
And now you're regretting that decision?
Not in the least. It's above all things what I want to do. I put plenty of sweat and tears into the campaign that led to your election, John, and I loved it. But now that the battle has been won, I resent like the dickens the thought that I'm going to be shunted off onto a sidetrack while you go steaming on alone down the main line.
Kay, you're talking absolute nonsense. Why, I don't know how to answer you. You amaze me.
Well, I may as well amaze you now as later. But this is something that has to be said. Now, I'm not selfish, and I'm no glory seeker. I don't want to detract one bit from the honor this town has shown you. But I do want to have a part of it, as any wife would.
But of course you'll have a part of it. I'm willing, eager, absolutely determined to share everything with you.
I know. Theoretically, your intentions are excellent, John. But unfortunately, I don't like the way things are starting off.
But just what don't you like? What have I done to offend you so terribly?
I think you could answer those questions better than I, John. You know perfectly well what you've done. You may not realize it, but you talk one way when you're perfectly sure of yourself, and an entirely different way when you have a slightly guilty conscience.
No, I haven't a guilty conscience. I haven't done anything wrong.
Well, from my point of view, you're not doing right either. You've been terribly evasive about this, Mrs. Hayworth. And I don't know why you should be, unless you've a feeling that there's something wrong in your relationship with her.
Kay, you're misinterpreting the whole thing. You're missing the point entirely.
I don't think I am. Seems to me that another big point to be explained about Mrs. Hayworth is why she picked on you. Why is it that she's offered you her sponsorship and her backing? You, instead of one of the other political figures that she knows.
Maybe she thinks I have more stuff.
Well, maybe you have. I have a good deal of confidence in you myself. But why do you have to be so secretive about what goes on between you and her? Couldn't you at least cut me in as an interested bystander?
I don't know how to answer you. Nothing you say makes any sense today. I still think, Kay, that if you look deep down in your heart, you'll find this is just a simple case of jealousy.
Oh, well, maybe it is. Only not the kind of jealousy you think. You and I together, John, managed to bring ourselves to the point where the future looked pretty bright for both of us. The principal reason it looked bright, I think, is that we started out with sound principles and we're headed toward an honest goal.
Are you maintaining that I've given up my sound principles? That overnight I've become a charlatan and a crook?
You certainly haven't done it willingly or intentionally. But I wonder if this woman hasn't sold you some ideas that aren't quite of the same high caliber as those you and I started out with.
That's absurd. She sold me no ideas at all, and I'm still capable of doing my own thinking.
What about this new tax bill? Is there any particular reason why you haven't told me everything about it?
Now, a new tax bill is going to be a fine thing. It will double my popularity in this town, and in some of the larger circles, too.
Is it going to be a fine thing just for you, John, or will it be a fine thing for the taxpayers, too?
Kay, you're being impossible this morning. Don't want any further part of this discussion. If you'll excuse me, I'll be getting down to the office where I have work to do.
All right, John, I'm sorry if I made you angry.
Let me say just one thing. You talk about wanting to share my success. Well, my success would be mighty short-lived if I didn't have sense enough to make a few decisions for myself and decide for myself what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And if you'll pardon me now, I'll see you later.
I wonder if I played that right or wrong.
Well, what do you think? Was Kay too harsh with John? Too blunt? Even though she had sound reason on her side, should she have spoken as frankly as she did? Mothers, can you spare 50 seconds of thought for your youngster's teeth? There are two big reasons why careful mothers by the thousands are starting their children on Colgate tooth powder. Colgate tooth powder is safe. Safe for precious young tooth enamel, safe for gum massage. It's made and guaranteed by the Colgate people, backed by their name. And you know the Colgate people have been making superb products for over 100 years. Second, youngsters love the flavor of Colgate tooth powder, and that's a big help in establishing good habits of toothbrushing. So begin today to have your children clean their teeth gently with Colgate tooth powder. You can depend on it. Colgate contains no scratchy, harsh abrasives whatever. Get a family-sized giant can of Colgate tooth powder when you're out this afternoon. Tomorrow, with Kay's and John's problems still up in the air, we turn again to Peg's trouble with her husband. Bert writes a letter. Peg receives it and decides to accept the challenge. Listen tomorrow for Kay Fairchild's Stepmother, brought to you by Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
It's pure ecstasy to use Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder on a moist, muggy day when you're hot, sticky, and clammy. So enjoy a one-minute pickup with Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder often during the day. Sprinkle this dainty talcum with generous abandon all over yourself. You can't use too much. Every particle performs a useful service. Quickly it dries up lingering moisture, chases away that clammy staleness, makes you feel fresh as daybreak. Then it gives your skin a satin smooth film to protect it from hot weather chafing. And in addition to those fine, useful benefits, Cashmere Bouquet Talcum enfolds you in a heavenly sense of luxury, even elegance, as it imparts to your person the ravishing fragrance men love. Yet for all its luxury, you may buy Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder with the fragrance men love for as little as 10 cents.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. This is the WBBMF Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.